Hello, radio readers. I'm Jane Hawerda in Dodge City, Kansas, weighing in on the American classic, The Grapes of Wrath. Alluding to both the New Testament book of Revelations and the American abolition song, The Battle Hymn of the Republic, the phrase, Grapes of Wrath, promises justice for those who suffer and to those who caused it. And so, John Steinbeck's novel opens our 2026 spring read, Route 66, 100 Years of the Mother Road. Steinbeck had spent much of the Dirty 30s, that's the 1930s, the Great Depression, observing and researching farm laborers, those migrants who had fled drought and dust clouds in the American South and Midwest. He documented their struggle for the good life in a region where work was transitory, labor cheap, housing a truck bed at best, and food scarce. He witnessed their struggle to understand how, in Steinbeck's homeland of California, the promised land of milk and honey, they were surviving at the whim of weather and farm managers and by chasing crop cycles. He said he wanted to, quote, put a tag of shame on the greedy bastards who were responsible for this, end quote, meaning, of course, the depression and the plight of the worker. It was his way, I think, to shine light on a very dark pit of human suffering, that of Americans, families, displaced, denigrated, unemployed, sick, hungry, and dying because of a failed and broken national economy. So, driven to call attention to such gross social injustice, and after a couple of years to review and organize his notes that he collected, and after months of preliminary writing, he completed his fifth novel in just 100 days. Published in 1939, The Grapes of Wrath was a top-selling book and won a Pulitzer. Portraying labor unions and collective housing in positive light made Steinbeck's novel very popular with readers concerned with the plight of workers. And Grapes of Wrath also incited haters who burned and banned it as communistic propaganda, claiming its portrayal of employers and bankers as abusive profiteers was libelously wrong-minded. Then as now, I guess, one citizen's facts are another surreality. I had the honor to facilitate discussions in Kansas communities under the auspices of what was then known as the Kansas Humanities Council. Not many remembered the Dust Bowl or the Great Depression from their own firsthand lived experiences, of course, but many offered family and community stories that have been passed down through generations, stories of lost farms, kin, neighbors, of making clothing from flour sacks and other ways of making do and reusing, of wanderers, hobos, looking for work and asking for food, and their sharing even of the most limited resources with those in need. The ending of The Grapes of Wrath to some has been a controversial ending, where Rosa Sharn, deserted by her husband, her baby stillborn, and with her parents' encouragement, offers her lactating breast to a starving man to suckle. This didn't provoke shock, maybe some embarrassment, but mostly just nods of understanding. After all, in what kind of world is it shocking to feed the hungry, ensure shelter, and to help each other? As Rosa Sharn's mother says, no one in their family, Okies they may be, ever refused food and shelter or a lift on the road to anybody. After all, it's what good people do,